We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now. Welcome back into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. We are going to do a one-day late quick hit today. My life's been flipped turned upside down, literally. So my schedule's kind of all over the place at the moment, but we're here for you. We still have an episode for you. Not yesterday, but apologies for that. And someone tweeted at me, hey, my beer's going to be different today because I'm not listening to you guys. And I was like, well, tomorrow your beer will be great because you'll be listening to us one day later.
Yeah.
You'll be going into your weekend with Beers on Us.
There you go.
So in today's quick hit, it'll be a short 15, 20-minute episode. We got a beer of the week, which we'll be getting to in about 10 minutes or so. But also, I want to talk a little bit about probably the most sought-after beer on the West Coast.
Yep.
And I want to parlay that into an episode next week where we kind of dive into a little bit more about how beers, specific beers, get to become the most sought-after in the country. So we'll get to that next week in a full episode. But, of course, we're going to be talking Pliny the Younger today, which is already tapped out down in California in their Windsor and Santa Rosa locations, the Russian River Brewing. They had posts on Instagram with them erasing it off their board because it was already gone. It's been up in Portland a little bit. So if you've had it, I haven't had a chance to try it. I forgot to go out yesterday to Bridgetown, which is where it was. And I was like, damn it. I forgot that I had to go try that. So we'll talk about that in a second. You can find us all over the place. We are on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Omni, 1080thefan.com, and then Instagram.com/beersonus. And then personal pages, I'm on Twitter at MikeLynch27, Patrick's at PDiddy085 on Instagram for his personal page. Anything unique in your week in beer?
I mean, my week in beer has ties to what we're talking about today.
Okay.
That, and then on top of it, just kind of the normal rounds. I drank a couple IPAs in from Alvarado Street Brewing that I tried that I thought were pretty solid. I'm trying to think. I think there were some other things that I had that I'm just not thinking of off the top of my head. We have a new beer on at Slabtown right now, the Wanderjack 2020.
I tried that.
Which is a collab with Barley Browns. It's kind of like Wanderlust meets Pallet Jack. It is incredible.
It's like a slightly maltier Wanderlust.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So, which Pallet Jack is known for a great malt base for a West Coast IPA, and Tyler Brown, you know, is kind of a big reason why we're all here in Oregon making West Coast IPAs with Pallet
Shout
Jack.
Shout out!
Yeah, with Pallet Jack. So it's 7%, 7.1, so you got to be a little careful, but boy, is it delish. Oh, and new batch of Cuddle Puddle drops on Monday.
Ooh.
Holla, holla,
hopefully it's as good as the last batch, which you drank probably 3/4 of the entire supply up.
We'll take another shot at it this time.
My week in beer has been few and far between, but the two of us did go out the other night, and I had Dark Thoughts for the first time this year from Barrelick. Mm-hmm. And I
what was the beer I had? Did I have a punk rock time?
Mm-hmm.
Drink.
What's up, Barrelick, guys? Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Whoa.
So I don't remember what you had. I don't even think I saw the can.
I think I had a punk rock time.
Drink.
And and you had the Dark Thoughts.
And then I had the Grains of Wrath new IPA.
Was the Grave Dancer.
Grave Dancer, yeah.
And
quite good.
And I had a Cocoa Cow milk stout
from
Sun River. I was out at Camus, out of Grains of Wrath on Tuesday, caught up with those guys, and I had the Grave Dancer out there. They're already out of Built for Speed, which is kind of sad because that beer is really good.
Grave Dancer was very good. It was quite tropical of an IPA. I got a lot of the like mango-y kind of flavors in it. So very, very good. And beyond that, I'm trying to think. Nothing crazy, I don't think. Oh, I went to Great Notion on Saturday.
The Northwest one?
Well, funny enough, we went to both because we were meeting with some friends, and they were like, oh, we're going to the new location. So we went to the Northwest one, and they were like, hey, we're here. We don't see you. And they were like, yeah, we're in Southeast. And we're like, you idiots. That's not the new location.
Yeah. You mean Northeast?
Yeah, sorry,
yeah,
Northeast.
Yeah, the Alberta spot. That's the OG spot.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, we went to the other one first. We thought this was the new one. And we're like, well, guess we're driving across town. So I had myself... Oh, God, I don't remember. I'm sorry. I accidentally got a hazy, of course.
You didn't accidentally. You're at Great Notion.
Well, no, but they had non-hazies there. But so, obviously, they label like hazy, New England hazy. This one was like a different title. And I was like, oh, I'll try that. It was like New Zealand hops, and it was like international IPA. I was like, oh, okay. It was a hazy. It was fine. And then I had the, they had a bacon and peanut butter stout, which, of course, I love.
Yeah.
So, it was good, and I had really good patty melt there, too.
Oh, nice.
Really good patty melt.
I've always enjoyed their food. It's a little like, rich, but a little heavy, but that's up your alley, and yeah. I've always enjoyed the food there.
That's up my alley 100%. And it was a special. It was very, very good.
Funny thing you should mention that you were at Great Notion, because I was, you know, flipping through my Facebook memories this morning. I pulled it up again, and I posted 4 years ago on February 28th, are you kidding me? This place is doing it right. Best brewery in all of North Portland at Great Notion. You wish you had my life. Where are my sunglasses? With a picture of a crowler of Juice Junior and Ripe IPA. So 4 years ago, I bought into the haze train.
Yes, you did.
And I apologize to my current employers for claiming a brewery that is not ours is the best in North Portland.
Hey, people can
but
change.
At the time, I was not working there. And
people can change their opinions.
Yeah,
okay.
And they were fresh and they were new. And I remember Ripe... kind of blowing my mind. I thought it was a really, really cool beer. I'd like to revisit Ripe. I don't even know if they still make it. Hazies are tough on me, so I don't make it to Great Notion as often as I should.
And
I
mean, you don't like stouts either, so.
Yeah, especially pastry stouts. And I haven't even been to the one that's like 10 blocks from my job, which is ridiculous.
Well, the funny thing is about the new location is it is so off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting there, I saw the address and I was like, oh, okay, so I'll just, it's up by 23rd. Mm-hmm. And then you like go all the way up and around down a curvy ass street that I'd never been down before. And I'm like, where are we going? And I'm like, oh, we're going into real slab town. It was like warehouse,
yeah, yeah.
abandoned warehouse. You're making a left here. And I was like, there's nothing here.
Casa Diablo's on the right.
Yeah. And there's Great Notion. It's a cool spot. Yeah. And they got a little outdoor like kind of bench area, but I like the original spot better. I'm not going to lie. I think it's...
Well, especially since they've expanded that outdoor patio area.
The patio's great. The food trucks are there. I like Alberta better than sitting in between warehouses. I'm sure the other spot is good for their, you know, for brewing and having a bigger space. But until that area gets built up, and maybe Great Notion will be the trigger for that, you know, gentrifying that area. I mean, there's nothing else there.
You're seeing it on the east side of 23rd, like where Slabtown is. We're seeing tons of stuff pop up. There's an XLB there, a Mama Bird. Mm-hmm. Go to 23rd, there's a Life of Pie, a Pine State Biscuits.
It's growing.
Yeah, it's growing down there. It's funny that...
That's just so much further out.
It's so funny that we're talking about Great Notion.
Because it's kind of related to our...
Because it's kind of related to... Kind of what we want to do this week and next week in terms of, you know, like the marketability and the craziness that is some people's desires to seek out certain beers.
Well, we will discuss those certain beers with Great Notion next week. But before we get into our beer of the week this week on our quick hit, we will seek out some opinions. Well, I'll seek out your opinions on Russian River's Pliny the Younger, which comes and goes, it feels like, in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It is an absolutely massive deal on the West Coast, and I'm assuming elsewhere in the country for craft beer lovers. I don't know how far they distribute that in terms of in kegs, but I'm sure people are
I think it's black market trading like crazy for it. Oregon, California, Colorado. That might be it.
Yeah.
It doesn't, Russian River doesn't leave California very often. I mean, I think the only reason they're in Oregon is just because... We're kind of craft beer mecca,
yeah.
And why not throw your name into the hat, especially if you're someone as desirable as Russian River?
Well, like what we talked about last week, about some of those California breweries just go, I mean, you got to have a little bit of a presence in Oregon just because that's where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not overwhelming. You're just introducing yourself to more craft beer drinkers who have a more refined taste than, say, someone who's from Arizona.
I'd be interested in how much exposure Northern California and the San Diego, LA area get of Oregon beers, if they see them as much as we do, vice versa. And so forth.
Just from having been there, I went to San Diego a year ago. It was mostly their own breweries. I didn't see a lot of Oregon beer down there. Not that I went to like bottle shops or anything, but it was mostly like, oh, you're going to have Stone and you're going to have Ballast Point and you're going to have this and that. And it's like, oh, okay. Sierra Nevada.
This reminds me the other day I was working behind the bar and this couple sat down and they were in town from LA. And we were talking about beers, and he was asking questions where they should go, you know, the kind of classic tourist stuff. Very nice people. And we were kind of talking.
Well, you should go to all three Breakside locations first.
And we were kind of talking, you know, if you want lagers, go here. You want IPAs, go to these places. You want trendy stuff, go here, da-da-da-da-da. Farmhouse saisons, go to Upright. And we just got to talking about IPAs and stuff, and I was like, I'd take an Oregon IPA over a San Diego IPA hands down every day of the week. I think we make hands down better IPAs than San Diego does. And he goes, really? I was like, oh yeah, man. Like, I don't even have to think about that. Like, I would take a Wanderlust over a Stone IPA any day. I would take a Pallet Jack over a Sculpin IPA any day. And he was just kind of thrown off by it. He was like, oh, interesting. Go about, do my business, some more things. Come back about 10 minutes later and he goes, hey, man, I'm still shook about what you said. Because he was from that area. And I was like, hey, no offense, man. I think we make better beer.
Yeah. Did he agree? Did he try Wanderlust?
Well, yeah, he was very much enjoying like the beers we had. Yeah. But I think that like sense of allegiance, that sense of pride was quite hurt, quite struck. Or shook, as he said. I think it was because of how confident and non-arrogant I was. It was like stating facts, not opinions.
Yeah, this is not an opinion, it's a fact.
Sorry, my man.
All right, so Pliny the Younger. Now, I've only had Pliny the Younger a couple of times. I had it last year when we did the podcast. I had it at Cerveza. Actually, I think when we went and did the Cerveza episode, it was around this time of year.
Okay.
And we had Pliny. That was like my first or second time having it. I think I've had it one other time, but it's not been a lot. Like although I like triple IPAs, I don't seek out triple IPAs. Mm-hmm.
Ditto.
So it's not something that was always on my radar. Why did that beer specifically grow to such a magnitude? I mean, it's a great beer, but why that one?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with just kind of the growth of Russian River in itself. When Vinny took over the brewery, you know, I think the date is like 2002 or something like that. Him and his wife bought it out. And, you know, Vinny is accredited as being kind of one of the creators and founders of the double IPA, of the Imperial IPA, Pliny the Elder.
Yeah.
Kind of one of the probably staple of Russian River. I mean, I'm a blind pig guy. I think STS Pilsner is one of my favorite Pilsners out there. Not to mention their barrel-aged sour series is very popular as well. But he's accredited with brewing the double IPA Pliny the Elder, which won a bronze and a gold at GABF in like 04, 05, 06. So just a juggernaut of a beer. Becomes this folklore thing around all of America. It's the first beer ever on Beer Advocate to be scored 100 out of 100. And this beer becomes just, I have to have it. People are selling growlers on the internet, which is a terrible idea because that beer will never be good by the time it gets to you.
Of course.
You know, and then I think as Pliny the Elder grew, they made the triple IPA, which just in such an even more limited capacity, just kind of when you're already jacked and excited about a double IPA and that being something new, a high ABV, big bodied, aggressively hopped beer, the thought of taking that to 11 kind of blows people's minds. And the fact that it was so difficult
to find. So was it one
of
the first triple IPAs that existed?
It's got to be. It's got to be. I mean, the rumors, you know, the folklore stories of, you know, when they first brewed Pliny the Younger, it was sold out in 2 days. The next year it was sold out in a day. The next year it was sold out in like 6 hours. I mean, they were only making like 600 gallons of it, something like that. So not a ton. And it just kind of grew and grew and grew. And it came to the point where, you know, they kind of created triple IPA month in February. You know, you see a lot of other breweries, whether it's Frame or Barley Browns, or, you know, we used to do Safe Word in February and stuff like that. We had the Rubens triple IPA in the tasting room a couple weeks ago. That just kind of became a thing, but Younger still became that brass ring on the carousel that you just couldn't quite get. And, you know, it came to a point where in this town, I mean, people sold tickets to get it. You would go, I remember Cerveza used to do this. You used to stand in line on a Sunday morning before they opened just to get your ticket that allowed you one pour on Tuesday afternoon. Mm. So you didn't even get it that day. You had to wait in line to get a ticket and then wait in line to go in. I think some of the mystique has fallen off a little bit in Portland in terms of like the really in-depth beer people, because I think we've all kind of had it. We understand it's really good. But the idea of chasing trucks to try to find it has kind of waned on us, especially with how much quality we have and the options we have here. But I mean, I was, you know, I had it on Tuesday at Cerveza, and I walked in, they, you know, I got friends there and they kind of let me know they were tapping it on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. I got there about 2:30. Place is packed.
Yeah.
Place is packed. And they were gone by 4. You know, there was only a 6 barrel, so that's only 45 pints. You're doing it in 8 ounce, 10 ounce pour. So you got to, you know, do the math on that. But gone in 2 hours, and that's quick.
Yeah.
And I remember talking with somebody I was at Bridgetown and then went to work, and I was talking with some people, and I had mentioned it, and this guy kind of was just random guy was sitting there. He just kind of looks at me. He's like, "Where were you?" And I was like, "Oh, well, I was at Bridgetown Beer House on Mississippi and Shaver." And he's like, "Where is that again?" And grabs his phone. And sure enough, he was thinking about ordering another beer, and he closed out and went up there and got one. So, I mean, I think for the average consumer, the people that know it, that beer is still, you know, a goal, still something to seek out. And I think a lot of it these days is reputation alone. Now, I had it. I think it's fantastic. It was kind of like a little like spicy hop character to it, which was really nice, but it's not overly sweet. It's not overly heavy. It's dangerous considering it's 10.2. It was good. And I definitely don't want to like take anything away from Russian River, but I think in this state, in this city, it's lost a little bit of its luster. But that's not true around America.
Well, and that leads me to a lot of questions, which we'll get to in next week's episode, but including and not excluding anything else. But the question is, how long does the buzz last? And how real can the buzz stay? Or is it just manufactured after a certain point of like, oh, it's Pliny the Younger. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited, but I've had it five times. So we'll get to that next week when we do a more in-depth episode with this and kind of look at some of the other beers, including that have been in the city that have been huge, huge popular beers. Looking at you, Great Notion, looking at you, Cascade, some of those beers that just get asked for. Like when my parents come, they have a friend who's like, can you get me this, this, and this from Portland?
Degard.
Yeah. Degard's one as well. We went to Degard. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For him.
Yeah.
I want to ask that question next week. And so next week we'll get into a way more in-depth discussion on this about the super popular rare beers and how they grow to that point and how they fade from that point as well. But we do have a beer of the week to get to, and it is from Old Reliable, Von Ebert. They're Black Pils today. Very, very excited for this one. I like the look of the can a lot, too. It's very simple, but easy to read. It's kind of different than other Von Ebert cans, I feel like. It's not like super different. That's got the three lines that they tend to do, but it just looks slightly different. But I've never seen a Black Pils before, so I'm assuming it's going to be actually dark in color.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, most likely. I think they've got something really cool going on in design here. The hoppy beers are like a solid color with the boar on it and like the cursive lettering of Von Ebert.
Yeah.
The lagers look like this.
Gotcha. Because
the Agostini looks like this too,
but
just in a
blue.
Different color. Yeah.
Yeah, in that Italian blue.
So I kind of like that. I like that. If that is in fact where they're going with it, and I think those guys are pretty smart down there, so they, you know, are probably thinking of all that stuff, that's a great idea to differentiate. These are lagers. These are hoppy beers.
So what should I expect with the Black Pils before I dive into it? What kind of flavors are different versus just having a regular Pilsner?
Well, I think you're looking at, you know, stuff like, you know, the idea of like, you know, dark Czech lagers are really popular right now, and Schwarz beers are really popular right now. And what you're looking for is you're getting all those kind of roastiness kind of ideas and concepts behind, you know, a dark ale, but you're getting it with that lager body. So the concept is if you, a stout drinker, you know, and it's a beautiful Portland day today, although it's supposed to rain tonight, that's going to be really funny. On a beautiful Portland day, you, a stout drinker, can still get those flavors you want out of a stout or a porter or something like that, but keep that body light. I think it's gonna open up a lot more flavors, and it's gonna just be a little more sessionable. I know people don't like that word, but the concept of being able to.
Why do people not like that word? That's silly.
Because people are stupid. It's this.
Touché.
This beer is gonna allow you to enjoy those flavors and drink more of it. And isn't the concept to drink more beer?
Yes, absolutely. So I took my first sip, and a lot of what you said is true. It does give me a malty, caramely flavor, but it's so light.
Mm.
It doesn't stick in the palate. It's not overly sweet. It's very smooth. I always say the word bready, but it's like, it's just got a nice mouthfeel, which maybe is a better way to put it. And it finishes clean, and it makes you come back for more, which is what I like about some of these lighter beers. What I've grown to like about some of these lighter beers is that when it finishes, you're like, that was great. Okay, more sips, please.
Yeah.
Whereas what I usually like in the Imperial Stouts, it's like, ooh, that tastes great. Ooh, that's lingering. Ooh, if I sit here for 5 minutes, I'll still taste that flavor. This one makes you want to keep going back for sips immediately. This is a great beer. You saying Schwarz beer kind of does remind me a little bit of that style, where it's darker, it gives you the maltier, caramely flavor, but it's just lighter than that style as well because it's a Pilsner. Bravo, Von Ebert. Quite good.
I like the body in this a lot. The malt character is really pronounced. It's really nice. It's really complimentary. Almost, it's not too sweet either, where it would lean, I think, a little more towards like a Dunkel if it were a little sweeter, but it's kind of Dunkel-esque in color. It's not fully black. It's more like a really
it's like a brown.
Heavy, deep burgundy. Yeah. But the aroma is nice. It sits really well in the mouth. And
the aroma is very mild, though. Mm-hmm. It's not overly strong when you smell it.
Yeah.
At least
to
me.
I mean, I was going to say that, but I'm totally wrong. Yeah, I think this beer finishes really clean. I think there is a touch of sweetness. I mean, knowing just my palate, I'd like a little more hop action, maybe a little more bitterness. But outside of that, for what this beer is, I think this beer is really nice. I think this beer is really nice.
It's quite good, drinkable. And like I said before on podcasts, I absolutely love when brewers, I know this is probably a somewhat normal style elsewhere, but it feels like it's more creative, right? You're not just making another Pilsner. You're making a Pilsner, but you're making it unique.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I think that's really, really cool. So bravo. I don't know which team made this one, if it was the Pearl or if it was over at Glendevere, but bravo to Von Eber for making another solid beer that we've had on this podcast.
Yeah, these guys, you know, I actually was BSing with Sam last night because he was in the pub, which he frequently is. Him and his wife were kind of there for a little bit having some beers and just kind of talking with Sam about their plans and stuff. And I'm looking really forward to the future of this brewery. I think this brewery is very bright. I think this beer is great that we have in front of us. I look forward to, there's a new Pilsner coming out in cans, I believe. And new volatile substance batches out right now. I saw that on the shelf the other day.
You gonna like that beer?
I'm gonna like that beer.
Okay. Just making sure. That's gonna do it for us. Thank you guys so much for being patient for an extra day for us to drop this. And next week we will dive more in depth into the topic of those specific beers that get extra popular and why they stay that way across the country.
I'll see if I can finagle us a guest too.
Okay.
I have an idea.
Okay. Sounds good to me. That'll be next week. Remember, you can find us Instagram.com/beersonus. You can subscribe, rate, and review wherever you find us. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Radio.com, Stitcher, Omni, 1080thefan.com. And yeah, we will see you next week for a more in-depth episode than this one. And go drink Von Eber's Black Pils.
Traces.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.